Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, open up to Romans 6, but we're going to back up into 5 a little bit. Boy, this is sure the season of dealing with the flesh, is it not? Even I'm going, God, are you sure you want to keep talking about this? You know who we're talking to? This is the choir, you know. But it goes out to the world, and the truth. Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing how distorted the truth is in the body of Christ at large. And myself, you know, like I say, if I'd have known 23 years earlier what I know now, I wouldn't have kept smoking for 23 years, you know. Could have done it then. I still had to do it, you know. So I like how, I guess of all the teachers, I like how Alan put it best. I think I had that same mistake in the beginning. I thought if I just prayed in tongues, I didn't have to do any active resisting or anything. I mean, the tongues, how do you do that? The tongues would just slap away all the... oh, yeah, all the bad stuff, it'll just slap it away. I won't have to resist my flesh, you know, and go to war. But I found out that's not the case. That is not the case. So we ended up one of the services recently here at the end of Romans 6, verse 19. You know, the word, every time you find the word servant in this passage, it's the Greek word doulos, D-O-U-L-O-S, I think is how you spell it. It might be D-O-L-O-U-S, but anyway, doulos. And it can mean like a bond servant by choice, but the most common usage is not that. It's usually a slave, see. And the message of the gospel is before you're born again, you really are a slave to sin. You really are. You have no choice. You can resist for a while, but eventually what you are is going to come back out, and you are a sinner, you know. So they're true if they phrase it, it's true if they phrase it this way, you were an old sinner. You were, all of us were. All of us still can. But the way they present it is like, okay, you're still that same old sinner, just saved by grace. No bigger lie was ever told. That is not what the New Testament teaches at all. No, you were an old sinner. You got saved by grace. Now you are the righteousness of God in Christ. So many people will acknowledge that. But what when they say, well, you've just got his righteousness, it doesn't mean you can live righteously. And so that's the greasy grace that, you know. And the end result is, well, you still, you know, you can't stop sinning. I actually have been in arguments with pastors where they're telling me, you know, you have to sin. And I'm asking, do you have a Bible? You know, and they'll go to war with you on this because they're so convinced. And this is the mentality that the whole church has to get past, but especially here at the prayer center. If we're going to go into revival the way he's talking about, we've got to know who we are, see. So the verse that really struck me here the other day, I think we ended on this one, was verse 19. Let me make sure. Yeah. He says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have, that means past tense, before you were born again, yielded your members, servants, let's say, okay, because he said you yielded it, see? You have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness, and to iniquity, and to iniquity. Well, I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I'll raise my hand that I'm sure in that camp. I certainly, Sue and I, trust me, we were not those kind of people that thought we were okay. We knew we were sinners on our way to hell. We just didn't know what to do about it. We're just trying to have a good time on our way there, you know. And so that wasn't a problem. I knew that. But now notice this. This is what the church does not think is possible, the church at large. And so now what? Now that you have been born again, yield your members, servants, to righteousness, unto holiness. Now, if we insert the word slave there, I like to phrase it like this. You mean it is possible for me, when it says members, is he not talking about my flesh? You mean it is possible for me, I have to do something, to make my flesh become a slave to righteousness, where my flesh has to bow to righteousness. In the same way I used to let it be a servant to unrighteousness, now I can make it be a servant of righteousness. Boy, A slave of righteousness. That might be the title tonight. See, I want to become a slave to righteousness. It's my own free will choice. You know, that bond servant. But my flesh, I don't want to give it any choice. I can see it like a chain around its neck. You know, remember when Dave used to do King Cockroach? And the rat, no, the cockroach would come out. Now, how was it? Yeah, the cockroach would come out, and he had the rat on the chain, this big, nasty rat. And he'd talk to that, he'd shake that chain, and the rat would roll over. See, that's exactly the way I want my flesh to be. It has no choice. We're going to do, and before I forget to say it again, because he just reminded me, I better say it now. Did you know that acts of righteousness are conceived in the same way that sin is conceived? What? I know. Remember, hold your place in Romans. We will come back there. This is too good. You got to see it. Go over to James chapter 1. He was talking about how sin is conceived. You remember that? James chapter 1, we'll start in verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away, now notice, of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, there's that word, it bringeth forth sin. That's James 1:15. James 1:15. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Now that word conceived means exactly what you think. It's the same word you would use if a woman got pregnant. And you thought about that word. I'm thinking, okay, now sin, how do acts of sin happen? Well, first, you've got this lust in you. Well, a woman has eggs in her. Okay, but that doesn't mean she's going to have a baby, even though the eggs are there. The baby is never conceived without intimate relations with another. Is that clean enough for church? There's got to be intimate relations with another. And in this case, it's the soul. Your mind. Your thoughts. Nobody commits adultery by accident, like a slipping on a banana peel. I was walking along and I slipped and it just happened. No, it didn't. You thought about it. You kept thinking about it. You pictured in your mind. There was intimate relations. And then sin was conceived. Well, he said to me after I taught that, he says, you know, righteousness is the same way. But it doesn't come by your lust. It comes by Christ in you. And so you'll be just walking along like today, Lily and I stopping at the Quick Trip, because she needed the long, the big chocolate Long John. That's right. Not the little one, Papa. The big one. She only ate half of it. That thing as big as her coming out of there, you know. But on our way in, we saw another minister and his wife. And hi, how you doing? Hugs. And we just turned to go on in, and just as clear. And it wasn't a voice, though. I have to say, it wasn't a voice. But it communicated, give them $40. Give them $40. And just, you know, in the old days when I was still getting free, you know, there would have been a war. This would have been a major thing. I'd have to go fast and pray. You know, and by that time, they're long gone, see, you know. But it was just as simple. Okay, you know, it's just, you know, you're becoming the hand, see. But now an act of righteousness. This is something that the Lord wanted done. It's an act of righteousness, and it's conceived. You know, it's his thought. He communicated it to my soul. My soul got it. I'm sure it came to my spirit. I don't know. Don't get too technical on me. But anyway, I got it. And immediately there was instant relations. I agree. Yes. And this act of righteousness happened. It's the same thing. It's just, acts of righteousness are conceived the same way that sin is conceived. That's how the will of Jesus or the will of the Father gets accomplished on the earth. Isn't it good stuff? Isn't that nice? So I recommend that since Jesus is your husband anyway, that there be relations anyway. Okay, let's go. Let's say fellowship. How about fellowship? Is that better for church? Okay. That there be fellowship, and then righteous acts shall be conceived and manifested in the earth. Okay. I better go back to Romans before I get in trouble. So, verse 19, it is possible for us to yield your members. And boy, you couldn't get any more graphic. Yes. To yield your members as a slave. You can make your flesh bow. I have this image of my flesh. Here I am. I'm not King Cockroach. I'm King Righteousness now. If you'll allow me, the new nature in me. He's got my flesh on a chain. And I bring it up right before the cross. And it doesn't want it. Boy, the last thing it wants. And I say, get on there. No, get on there. Or whatever it is that the Lord wants it to do, you know. We're going to do this now. No, I want to go sin. Jerk on that chain. You're a slave to righteousness. Now, the church says that's not even possible. The church at large. But Romans 6 says it is. Not. I'm going to go with Paul, okay? You with it? So when he talks about this righteousness, which is free by grace, where the church at large has missed it, is like it's just a positional truth. Now, it is a positional truth, okay? But what they're saying is, well, yeah, okay, he paid the price for your sin. True, okay? Therefore, he became a sinner, which he was not, right? He who knew no sin became sin, that you could be the righteousness of God in him. But the way they preach that is, well, it's just accounted righteousness. You're still that same old person that you were. He just accounts you righteousness. So you can't be held accountable for your sin anymore. Well, that's not what he's talking about. So this is deep calleth unto deep. So we're looking at Romans 6:19, right? Now here's deep calleth unto deep. Romans 5 comes before Romans 6. Okay. So let's back up and see what he said in Romans 5, starting in verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, who's that? Adam. Sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, because of that, all have sinned. Now let's just stop for a minute. All right? By one man, sin entered into the world. In plain English, he's saying, and all men became sinners. Isn't that what he's saying here? But let me ask you, though, was that just a positional truth? You didn't really have to sin, though, right? I heard nobody's answering. Is that just a position? When it says all men, death passed upon all men, and because of that, all men sinned? I mean, that's just a positional truth. It is. That good. Give her an A+. No, it's real. So is your righteousness. And that's what we've not believed, see. It is a perfect swap. It is a perfect substitution. But it's the truth that makes you free. And as long as you believe something that's not true, if you don't think you're free, then you're not free. What is that image? The prison is in the mind. The bars have been removed. You have literally been set free. But most of the church is still sitting in prison, committing sin that they don't have to commit, but they have been taught that they do. We're coming out of the prison. Amen? For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned. And every time I read that, how much did it reign? 100%. There's not anybody that escaped, right? And it wasn't just a positional truth. I mean, you lived it. And God gave him the law and said, well, live holy. I like how Dave says it. So the guy under the law, he comes home from work every day, you know. How'd it go at work today, honey? How's that new secretary working out? We better offer another sheep. Death reigned, and it reigned 100%. From Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. In other words, not everybody sinned the same way, but everybody sinned. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Now we're headed to something. For if by one man's offense, death, I like to say, ruled and reigned by one. And boy, it ruled and reigned 100%. Much more. Oh, I love those two words. Not just more. Much more. They which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now, if somebody is ruling and reigning, that's not just an accounted kingship. You're the one holding the chain, and the flesh is on the end of the chain. And I'm ruling and I'm reigning over you. How are you doing that? By the righteousness which he has given me, which is a new nature. It's not just accounted righteousness. He has literally given me of his own spirit. And now, rat, flesh, I'm the master here and you are the slave. And I'm going to make you be a slave of righteousness. Whew. Oh, I like that. Okay, I'd like to go quicker, but we got time, okay? Verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came unto all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift, that free gift is the new nature, it came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. You were not just a positional truth sinner, were you? And you're not just a positional truth righteous person now either. You are a righteous person. You have righteousness at your core. You are made in the image of Christ. And what Paul is exhorting us to do in this letter and Colossians and in Ephesians is, you put off that old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and put on that new man by the renewing of your mind, that new man which is created in the image of God, created in righteousness and true holiness. And it's up to us. God's not going to do it for us. We got to renew our mind, put our foot down, get the flesh on the end of the chain and say, roll over. How about play dead? How about get on the cross? That's good stuff, isn't it? Verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. But look at verse 21. That as sin hath reigned unto death. Again, I got to ask, how much did it reign? Even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Glory to God. You are not that same old sinner. You are not that same old creature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I don't care if you failed 27 times yesterday before lunch. It does not change the truth of who you are. The blood is still on the mercy seat. If you got to go 27 times before lunch, while you're in this renewal process, keep going. Let's continue now in verse chapter 6. What shall we say then? Now here's the answer to the greasy grace. What shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Nathan say that? No! What does that mean, Nathan? No! We don't continue in sin. Now again, qualify. While we are learning these things, God will walk through hell with you. I don't care what kind of faults you have. I don't care what's going on. He will walk through hell with you while you are not justifying the sin and while you continue to do those things. Like what things, Gary? Prayer, the meditation of the word, fasting, worship, coming to church. Amen. So it says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Can I rephrase that for you just a little? How can we who are no longer sinners? That's what he's saying. Dead to sin. You're no longer a sinner. You're dead to it. How did you get that way? You got born again. How shall we that are dead to sin? You're not a sinner anymore. How can we live any longer therein? Know you not? And most of the church doesn't. That so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Boy, he gave me that image that time of Jesus on the cross. And when he gave up the ghost, when he breathed that last breath and the curtain in the temple was rent from the top to the bottom at that instant, you know. And I saw in vision form, like looking down from a helicopter or something, looking down, the whole earth was covered with dead people. Everybody was dead. If one died for all, then we're all dead. And I saw it. He entered into our death. He was dead, and we were all dead too. The whole species of Adam, in God's view, died that day. Even the ones not born yet, it didn't matter. The whole species of Adam died in Christ. And if you can just picture that going on for a while, nothing moving, everything dead. But then on the third day, one sat up, one stood up, and he is called the firstborn from the dead. And he wasn't raised up a sinner. He was raised up the righteous king of the earth, the very firstborn from the dead. And if there is a first one that stood up, there is a second one that stood up, and a third one, and your number's in there somewhere. You are not that dead person anymore. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. God, is that good stuff? We were baptized into his death. You're not even of that species anymore. Not even of the species of Adam. The only thing connecting you to Adam is that flesh you're wearing. Boy, there's a lot of teaching right there, but I can't go there tonight. Verse 4. Therefore, because we were baptized into his death, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. There's that vision I just shared with you. Even so we also should walk in newness of life. You are not that same creature. You are not of the species of Adam anymore. You are the species of God. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Paul is preaching the same thing here that Nathan was reading this morning out of Philippians 3. That being since I can't quote it perfectly, keep your place there. Go to Philippians chapter 3. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That's what we just got through reading in Romans 6. Raised to new life. He was raised to new life. When you were born again, you were raised to new life. That you may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. Now here it is, being made conformable to his death. And that's the part he's working on us right now. Really all three. Because I'll just tell you the truth. If you don't understand the resurrection. See, for years my faith stopped at the cross. And that's better than nothing. You know, that's all the thief on the cross really had. You know, that the cross was enough to pay the price for his sins. I've said before, if that was the end of the gospel and Jesus paid for my sins so I don't have to go to hell, that's enough right there for me to worship him for all eternity. Amen. But God wasn't content with that, to just forgive us and leave us the old sinners that we were. He says, no, no, I want man back the way I originally made man, made in the image of Christ, made in the image of God. I want to not only forgive them, I want to change them and adopt them back into my family and resurrect them to a new life with the life I always intended that man should have. And that's the life of God on the inside. That is the new birth being made. But right now he's got us kind of focusing, seems like, in these messages, being made conformable to his death. See if I can find it. So let's look at his death. Back up into chapter 2. Notice where it says being made conformable unto his death. Well, back up to chapter 2, verse 8. Now, again, I want to hook your mind. Here, we want to be conformable unto his death. Amen? You back up into chapter 2, look at verse 8. The last part of the verse. Became obedient unto death. Is that not his death? Okay. Well, let's see what he's talking about. All right. We'll start in verse 5. Let this mind be in you. So this is something we're supposed to think. Which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. We know he was the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And for 100 years, I read that. It seemed like it. Forever I read that, and my mind would only go to the cross at Calvary. And it is talking about the cross at Calvary. But then one day it dawned on me, the Holy Spirit linked up that verse with, he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And it dawned on me, he didn't put his flesh on the cross once. How did he live above sin? He put his flesh on the cross every day, because it plainly says he was tempted. If it had just said he was tempted like we are, we might not get it. But it says he was tempted in all points as we are. So how did he live sin free? He had to put that flesh on the cross every day. And how did he do it? He did it by the power of the new nature. And I know he was not baptized in the Holy Ghost himself until age 30, the day that John baptized him in the water and he saw the Holy Spirit come down upon him. So that let me know the day that this all came together, Dave was right the whole time. The power of the new nature is enough for us to walk above sin. The power of the new nature alone. Now, the Holy Spirit, all he does is add to that. He also helps our infirmities, okay? But even without the Holy Ghost, you can walk above sin. Glory to God. This is not what's taught at the church. Many pastors will argue with you that you're still just an old sinner saved by grace and that you have to sin. That is not what the New Testament teaches, okay? Back over to Romans 6 again. Hey, we're doing pretty good. Now look at, let's read verse 5 again to pick up the flow here. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth from this day forward, we should not serve sin. If I had known these, I used to read these verses when I was smoking like a freight train. You know, I made a confession out of all of Romans 6. I made a present tense confession. I'd walk that field over there by the ugly building, confess those scriptures, pray in tongues, and smoke like a freight train. Because the revelation of it was just not in me. What was real to me was the withdrawals when I tried to quit. That was very real. Talk about being moved by what you see. Moved by what you feel. I was moved by it, see. And my soul, which is the unjust judge, it gave the same evidence to the withdrawals as it did to those confessions. That's what makes it unjust, by the way. An unjust judge will receive evidence from any source, whether it's truth or not. And that's what makes the soul an unjust judge. All right. It took a long time, continued praying. But thank God, if we know these things, we can leapfrog now. You don't have to go through what I went through. You don't have to, you know, whatever it is that he's dealing with you about. Oh, I'm so glad he's dealing with Nathan on the coffee. Just a minute. I got to worship God. Thank you that you're dealing with Nathan about it and not me, God. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. I better be careful. You know. Do you know what the end of 1 John is? Now, don't look at it. Don't you look at it. Do you know what the last sentence in 1 John, did I say it this morning? Oh, you know then. Keep yourselves from idols. Isn't that perfect? Knowing what the book is really about. All right, little children, you're forgiven. You're forgiven for his namesake. Your sins are forgiven. I write this to you, sin not, but you're forgiven. But they're little children because they weren't free. They're walking habitually in their sins. And so what does the Lord do with them and all of us? One by one, he starts dealing with every idol. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. So if it's become an idol to, in our case, it was rock and roll music and some other things. Nathan's case, apparently, thank God. It's, you know. And I know I'm getting myself in danger every time I tease about that, but I got to quit. Okay. That henceforth we should not serve sin. And look at verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. We read the same thing in Colossians this morning, Colossians 3. You are dead. You died at the cross. You died the day that, the same day, from God's point of view, the same day Jesus died is the day you died. And the same day he was resurrected to new life, you were resurrected to new life, and you weren't born yet for 2,000 years. But in God's mind, it happened that same day. Because you're either of the species of Adam or you're the species of God. Well, if you're a species of God, which you are, if you're a believer, then you are dead. And you're freed from sin. Try and preach that where I come from. Anyway, verse 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, he dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, that means in exactly the same way. Why? Because you experienced the same death and you have experienced the same resurrection. And Dave put a nail in the coffin years ago. If there was one message I wish I had never heard, I'm teasing. But it's almost that bad. It's that time when he says, we'd like to think that Jesus received something a little more. We'd like to think that Paul received something a little more than what we got at the new birth. But he took us to Romans 8 and he just killed us dead. You remember? He took us to Romans 8 and proved without doubt it is the same life that raised Jesus from the dead. That is exactly the same life that raised you from the dead. Paul didn't have any more than I have. Even Jesus himself, the man Jesus, the glorified man, did not receive more life from the Father than what we have ourselves. Boy, it gets quiet. In that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. In that same way, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And because that is true, because you are a new creature, and you have received the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness. It's not just a positional truth. There is a righteous nature on the inside of you that brings forth verse 12, where you can stand up and let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Now, where we've got to get this straight right now, there is a doctrine going through the church that if you've got lust, it's a demon. And you got to cast the demon out of you. I'm just trying to be a good student. I'm searching everywhere in the New Testament, and I cannot find that. Not for born-again believers. Now, before the cross, yes, okay? We'll get into that later. But you check it out from the time of the resurrection forward. You don't find that doctrine. Why? Because you've been set free from that. You are the devil master. You are the one in control here. That's Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. Tulsa's in revival. We're an authority here, not the devil. See, we've been saying it for 20 years, but now we're starting to walk in it. See, the 70 were amazed that the devils had to obey them. Even the devils are subject unto us in your name. You look that word up, subject. It means they were slaves. They had no choice. And we're Christians, born again, spirit-filled Christians. The devil made me do it. He didn't make you do nothing. He may have enticed you. He may have, ooh, look at the fruit of that tree. You need the fruit of that tree. You know, he may have enticed you, but you made that decision. You, when you and lust had intimate relations, sin was conceived. And it was no devil made you do it. You did it. You made that choice. But verse 12 says, we can let not sin reign anymore in our mortal body. You don't have to obey the lust. Now, the sad news there is, you notice it doesn't say that the lusts are gone. That's the day that, this is really why Paul, two chapters later, says we groan within ourselves. I'm looking for the day. I can't imagine a body that does not have lust in it. I can't imagine a body where my soul would say, let's go get some Krispy Kreme donuts. And my body would say, no, we don't eat that. That is a foreign world to me. A body that doesn't even want to sin. A body that has no lust. Do you know that's what we're going to get? Verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Who yields it? It's the devil made me do it. Somebody cast this devil out of me. It's the devil making me do it. No. It says, don't you do it. Don't yield. What if I do? He's still with you. I'm reminded right now, I probably won't quote it perfectly, but this is the essence of what he said to me one time. The Holy Spirit is trying to teach me to become more aware of his presence all the time. And he says, think not that I am with you only on those days when your performance meets certain standards. You have earthly friends that have seen you in your failings, and they have not forsaken you. Think you not that I love you more than they. I have seen you at your best, and I have seen you at your worst, yet I still love you. That's the Holy Spirit. He will walk with you, even if you miss it. But what we need to do is, instead of running from God when we miss it, we need to run to God when we miss it, but do it in the right attitude. Like, I'm coming. We don't want to get that attitude like Pastor Dave used to teach. Oh, Friday night is coming. Let me pack everything I'm going to need for my good time Friday night. I'm going to need this. I don't want to forget my repentance pills. You know, got to put the blood of Jesus in here, so I'll have that when I need it, because I'm going to have a good time, you know. If you start getting that attitude, you're on the way out. So. Okay. Verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. That image is so important that you understand who you are. You are one that is alive from the dead. The dead is the old sinner. You are alive from that species. And your members, yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace. What grace? Keep it in the context of chapter 5. It is the grace, the free gift of God, where Jesus came and paid the price for your sin. You are not just forgiven. You are forgiven by payment in full. You are forgiven by payment in full. Jesus paid the price to set you free. But that wasn't enough to satisfy the Father's love. He said, no, enter into his death. And I am going to birth you again as a new creature that doesn't even have a past. This new creature will not be a sin creature. This new creature is a righteousness creature. And that's why you can now yield your members. You're a righteous creature walking around in sinful flesh. But now you've got, you're not King Cockroach. I wish I had a different image. You're the King of Righteousness. You're a king and a priest. King, priestess. Male and female. Anyway, you're the one with the flesh on the chain. And now you're calling the shots. Amen? For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. But it's that grace that gave you the new nature. What then? Shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace? Here we go again. God forbid, it's so heinous to even think such a thing. Know you not that to whom you yield? Here we go again. The old sinner didn't have a choice. The new creature does. To whom you yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. I would to God that that same form of doctrine was delivered in every church every Sunday around the world. That form of doctrine that was delivered to them is the same doctrine he's writing in all of the book of Romans here. You don't have to sin anymore. You're not that same old sinner. You are a new creature with the very life and righteousness of God on the inside of you. Mm. Being then made free from sin, right there get you thrown out of a lot of churches. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. And that's really the verse. I was thinking it's 19, but it's verse 18. Being then made free from sin, you became, let's change it a little. That word servant is doulos. You became the slave of righteousness. Boy, in the same way that I used to be a slave to sin, and I was pretty good at it. I want to become a slave of righteousness. I want, by my own free will choice, Master, I don't want to leave your house. I want to stay. You've been good to me, Master. You've been good to my family. Remember the bond slave in the Old Testament? His payment was paid in full. He could leave anytime he wanted. But if he chose of his own free will to stay, then he could be of his own choice. And what was the signal? How did everybody else know? They went to the town square where there was a post at the gate. And the master took an awl, which would be like an ice pick, kind of like what we have today, an ice pick. And he put the fat part of the lobe of the ear against that wood and pierced it with an ice pick right to the doorpost. Watch the imagery there. Where does the ear of the servant, say it again, where does the ear of the slave belong? Always listening at his master's door. Is that good stuff or what? And if we do that and we listen and obey, we will have our revival. That's enough for tonight. Did you get anything out of that? I thought that was, boy, I like that. Hallelujah. A slave of righteousness. That's what I want to be. That's really who I am. I want to walk that out now. Slave of righteousness. Gary knows all about being a slave to sin. I know what that is. I am a slave of righteousness.